The following is a paid program. 1590 WAKR and its owners, the Rubber City Radio Group, are not responsible for its content.
Money Talks, the show that gives you the tools to navigate a challenging economy, help you build and protect your wealth, and provide timely news and information to manage your money. Here's the host of Money Talks, Richard Peterson, president of Capital Financial Group on 1590 WAKR.
Well, good morning, Sandy. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. How about yourself? I came in the nook of the north this morning with all that frosty cold, and I guess it's not going to get better. It's going to get a little worse.
A little chilly out there, huh?
Yeah, a little snowy. I don't know which better. I always think when it's really cold, I think, well, maybe snow would be better. But when it's really snowy, I think, well, you know, I would deal with a dose of cold just
how
to get
both?
Out of the snow. Yeah. How about that? Yeah.
It's coming.
Does this affect the markets?
Not really.
Oh, really?
Earlier in the week when the East Coast got all the snow, they were concerned that maybe they would have to close down Wall Street, which they don't really have to do quite often, and they didn't have to, and that was the only concern that they really had. Luckily, they didn't get what was anticipated, but all in all, everything was good. It was a roller coaster ride in the markets this week again, though.
Oh, okay, so we'll get more into that
as
the show goes on.
And good morning, everyone. I am your host, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. This is Money Talks. Thanks so much for joining us on this Saturday morning, the last day of January 2015, as we make the turn into February and welcome good old old man winter as he comes in this weekend. Yes, it was a roller coaster ride in the markets again this past week, where we were seeing 200-400 point moves in the markets daily. And a lot of people are wondering, what's going on out there? Well, a lot going on if we take a look at it. We had a big move in the markets this week because of Russia. Russia lowered their lending rate from 17 to 15%. That was an unexpected move. If you remember a few weeks back, we had Switzerland that they decoupled their currency from the euro. We have China's slowing economy and trying to make a transition from an infrastructure to a consumer-driven economy. The Eurozone, with its continued problems. Of course, Mario Draghi now trying to take the game plan of Ben Bernanke of buying bonds. We have a high dollar, a real high dollar here in the United States at a 9-year high. The reason being is because, well, the rest of the world is so weak. We have the global race of devaluing their currencies. Japan, doing their bond buying program, they're going to commit over $1 trillion to it. Of course, the European Union, everybody trying to export their deflation. We also have Australia with their problems now, looking after 20 years at their first recession because of the commodities. Commodities going down in price because, again, with the strength of the dollar. We see oil as being one of those. We've seen a big fall in oil in the past 6 months. Of course, we saw some strength yesterday. Part of the reason, well, there was an ISIS scare that maybe they have reached some real strategic points in Iraq. And also, too, we see continued rigs coming offline here in the United States. As a matter of fact, we were down this week 7%. We now have a total of 1,223 rigs. That's the lowest point in a number of years now. We did see an 8.3% jump in oil. If we go back to the oil situation, what is going on with oil? You have three basic reasons why oil is falling. Number one, strength of the dollar. When the dollar is strong, you're going to see a decrease in the cost of oil itself. And with the dollar at this multi-year high, we see prices low. You're seeing also the fact that we have global demand around the world is down. Now, that demand, if you really look at it, we run on about 91, 92 million barrels of oil a day. We have an excess supply of roughly about 1 to 1.5 million barrels. That's really not that large of an amount of excess supply. As soon as we get a little bit of strength out there, that will soak up the excess supply. And, of course, we have the new supply of oil found in the world here in the United States with the fracking and so forth. Now, of course, the Saudis are playing their little game of chicken because they are the lowest cost in the world to get oil out of the ground and still be able to make a profit of somewhere around $10 a barrel is all they need, whereas the United States, depending on who the company is, needs about $40 to $70 per barrel. Got other places like Venezuela, Iran, and so forth that need much more than that to be profitable, so they're certainly taking a hit. And so we've got all of these variables all being churned out. We have correlations that never used to be that are using as correlated measures now. We have other correlations that used to be that aren't anymore, and you're seeing a lot of volatility in the markets. Is it anything to be concerned about? No, not really. It's just typical geopolitics and market forces working against one another. Certainly, as investors, we all have long-term views that we want to look at. As part of some of the other things we saw Thursday, we saw that the Labor Department reported that jobless claims fell sharply to 265,000 the week ending January the 24th. That's the lowest level since April of 2000. So that gave a nice spark to the markets. Saw that the National Association of Realtors reported that pending home sales fell by 3.7% month over month in December. We saw, of course, we had the Fed statement this past week. They had a two-day meeting. Following their January meeting, they claimed that the economy had been expanding at a solid pace, a more positive assessment relative to the view from last December. They said that the recovery pace is moderate. The Fed reasoned that household spending is getting a boost from the recent declines in the energy prices. Fed also said that inflation is expected to decline further in the near future before drifting higher towards its 2% target over the medium term. And we also saw that they kept the Fed funds rate at the 0 to 0.25%. We saw in November the pending home sales also rose by 0.8%. with the index rising to 104.8. And on the economic front, the Commerce Department also reported that durable goods orders unexpectedly fell 3.4% month over month. So as you can see, the data itself even, we have conflicting data, some good data, some not so good data. And when you get all that all into one basket, what do you get? You get the market doing exactly what it's doing. Volatility, going up, going down. Yesterday alone, if you watch, basically we saw the markets open down as they slid further and further and further. It was about 1 o'clock yesterday. We saw them coming back, actually watching them get into positive territory to just turn around again and end up at the lows for the day. So this is going to be common. And we saw for month over month since the beginning of the year, the Dow is now down 3.7% for the year, the NASDAQ down 2.1%, and the S&P, well, it's down 3.1% for the year. We saw in the bond market, the two-year now rested 0.46%, the five-year at 1.18%, the 10-year 1.67%, and the 30-year at an all-time low of 2.24%. We saw gold and silver both increase in value. Gold was up $21, silver was up 50 cents. And we also saw natural gas was up 3 cents to $2.69. Big jump in the oil markets. West Texas Intermediate was up better than 8% to close at $48.24. And Brent crude was up $3.86 to close at $52.99. At the pumps, $1.98, what I saw on the way in. Gas futures were up 6 cents to $1.35. And, of course, we also had, some information come out this week with the President's State of the Union address last week. One of the topics that he covered were the 529 plans. We can come back after these commercial breaks. We're going to talk about some changes already and also, too, some conversation concerning the Roth IRAs. And we'll be right back after these commercial breaks.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at professormoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590. With more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back to Money Talks this Saturday morning. And, of course, it was the State of the Union address just recently that we heard the president talk about wanting to tax the 529 plans. Those are your college savings plans. Now, of course, there was, a real fury of backlash pertaining to that, and how many middle-class Americans actually have these programs to help pay for college. And when it was all said and done, when you look at it, the program was supposed to basically bring in through the new taxes on there a total of $1 billion over 10 years. You're talking $100 million per year, which is so minimal in the grand scheme of things. Well, the backlash basically had the administration come out and say that they were no longer going to have this in the budget. According to some sources, though, it is still in the budget that was presented to Congress. I have not seen it in writing myself, but it brought up a very interesting topic of discussion by a lot of people. Is your Roth safe from the government? Meaning right now it has a tax-free status. Is that going to last? Well, an article written this week by Investment News talks about that, and basically that when you look at things, you know, the government can do anything at any time it wants under any circumstance for any reason. And basically we just have to live with that. Is the Roth safe? Well, you know, the government is constantly, as we look at it, one of the complaints that I have is that it overspends, and when it overspends, it's constantly looking for new sources of revenue out there. Thus, the 529 plan to put in the budget to tax the wealthier Americans to pay for and to get some new tax revenues. Roth accounts are certainly growing in size and could certainly have politicians in Washington salivating over the fact that here would be a great source of new tax revenues. According to the article, one of the things that he says in here is that, of course, if the government were to change things, what they would do is grandfather in those people that already have current Roth accounts. Now, I would tend to say to him, generally, they will do that and grandfather accounts in. But there is no guarantee. The government can always do things retroactively, as they have done many times before. Am I saying that the Roth is in jeopardy at this point in time? No, I am not. And so please don't confuse what I'm trying to say here. It was a topic of discussion that was brought up. And basically, what I wanted to get on was the fact that our government, we live in the United States of America, can do anything that they want anytime that they want, and we just have to be ready for it. We can't change it. We can't do anything about it. We have to live with what they decide to do, whether it be self-serving or something in the public's interest, but those are the rules. And so we just have to play the game by the rules. Currently, the Roths are a very good vehicle to use to put money away, already taxed dollars, into an account that will grow tax-free and be able to use it into retirement. It's an account that you don't have to take minimum distributions at, 70 and a half on. It's something that can be inherited. We also found out this week, as we're looking through, of course, the budget. This is through the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, is looking to explode or double where it is right now by 2024. Again, I have issues with the amount of money that the government spends. Basically, at this point in time, that credit card is over its maximum limit, and yet they continue, the president and the administration, they continue to want to spend more and more money. And I guess it comes down to, well, the president's speech and his budget were basically about the middle class. I have a laid out diagram in front of me concerning what the president's budget is all about. Basically wanting to take a lot of tax dollars from the top 10% it will not go to the middle class, folks. It's going to go to the bottom 20% of the population in this country. So all this talk about the middle class, well, it was misinformation. It was take from the top, give to the bottom. And that seems to be the president's agenda. I don't want to harp too much on there other than the fact that, you know, I think many Americans believe everybody in this country should have equal opportunity, but we're not all equal. I mean, look at the classroom. There are some students that want to study. There are some students that don't want to study. We all have equal opportunity, but we are not all equal. Some people want to work harder. Some people don't want to work as much. That is just human nature. It just seems that this administration feels that everybody should be equal, whether they're willing to work at it or not. And I think that's where the frustration comes. And certainly my biggest complaint is the overspending of taxpayer dollars and putting America's future in jeopardy, which they already have. We need to start talking about tax reform. We need to start talking about a balanced budget. We need to start talking about the fact that we have a problem, and the sooner we address it, the easier it is to look at the problem and to find some ways to address the problem so that it does not put this country and Americans in the bind that at this point we're heading towards. So the Roth, safe, good product. Go ahead and use it. It's a vehicle that is great for retirement. Can the government eventually come around and say, we're going to start taxing them? Yes, they can. Probably will grandfather you in. It is not being talked about right now. But as with many things, as I mentioned earlier, the government is always going to look for those big ripe apples, the low-hanging fruit. Where can we get more tax dollars so that we can spend more, so that we can buy more votes, so that we can stay in office? That's politics. That's the way it is. And we'll be right back after the commercial breaks here. Stay with us. You're listening to Money Talks on WAKR.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590. With more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back. It is time for the Money Talks joke of the week.
It's the moment I've been waiting for all week. All week.
Well, with the cold and snow, I figured we'd do something for the golfers out there, kind of bring in that summer air.
They got to go in there, that indoor golfing, yeah.
It's about two old men, Sandy, who are out on the golf course one morning playing their usual round of golf when a funeral procession comes down the street next to the green. Well, one of the old men notices the procession and immediately stops in the middle of his putt. He calmly steps away from his ball, removes his cap, bows his head in silence as the procession passes by. Well, the other man is amazed at his friend's reverence for the deceased. That was truly one of the most touching and thoughtful acts I've ever seen from you, he says. Well, I figure it's the least I could do. After all, we were married for 42 years. It may take a minute. You'll get it.
Okay. We can always count on you, Richard, for those funny, funny jokes. You know, with this weather changing like this, I was thinking, you know, if you were to look at it from an investment perspective, would it be something where, like, should you just shoot a bunch of money into, like, natural gas or electricity or tissues or, you know, cold medicine, whatever, you know, because it's about ready, the stuff's going to become more valuable, or is it too late?
Oh, no, there's always opportunity in the market. And if we take a look at, you know, we were talking off air about the volatility and so forth going on in the markets right now. Look what oil's done. I mean, it's come down 50% in 6 months. That is not a normal situation. And does everybody think that the global economies are going to be in a recession for the next 20 years, or that, you know, when we look at the dollar strength, it's going to continue to stay strong? Or no, this is, you know, for the long-term investor, this is a situation where if I'm going to have my money to work over the next 5 years, I'd be buying some oil companies.
Ah, you know? Okay, because right now it's at a low.
Right now they're at a low.
Okay, and that's when you want to buy it.
Right.
Okay.
And again, it's always looking ahead. It's you know, it's buying those bathing suits to sell, you know, buying them in January to sell them in July, June and July. You have to look ahead. Oil's never, it's not going to stay this low. It's going to go back up. And when it does, there goes your investments. They're going to increase in value. We know that we're going to have high inflation in a few years down the road. What does well in inflation? Gold and silver. I mean, these are the types of things that you look at. You're just looking for something that has opportunity for growth in the next 12, 18, 24, 36 months.
That's more long-term.
Right.
More
right.
long-term.
Because we're not gambling, you know.
Uh-huh.
We're not putting it on, you know, 36 red, hoping that, you know, the next roll, you know.
It's kind of what we do when we put gas in our car, though. We'll say that. I drive by and I go, okay, right now it's like 281. Will it be 260 when I drive back again? Or will it be at 2, you know, or will it
be $3? Yeah.
Right, exactly. So, you know, you got to, it's like, that is like gambling every time you fill up your car.
Absolutely. So it's just, it's you know, it's keeping that long range view. It's not doing anything. As you'd mentioned, you know, you don't make decisions on fear and emotion. That's the worst thing that you can do, particularly when it comes to money. You know, don't jump on board when everybody's talking about a hot stock because you're going to be the last guy. You're going to buy it at the highest price.
Oh, and then you'll lose when it goes back down because it's okay.
Don't liquidate everything when the market's down. It's just temporary. That's actually a good buying opportunity. It's just keep the long range view and all this kind of day to day noise. You can just block it out. You don't have to really worry about it.
But it does affect our real life, like things that we touch and use and, you know, that happen around us actually are connected to the market. So it's not just this, it always seems like it's this obscure bunch of numbers and symbols that don't affect our real life, but it really has a lot to do with
everything's
what we're doing.
Everything's correlated.
Yeah.
Weather. Global economies, the government, you know, emotion, it's all correlated. It's all together. And so, therefore, that's why, as an investor, you're looking long-term so these day-to-day things don't bother you. If you're a day trader, oh, boy, everything you listen to, you know, you got to do it now, So.
And we were talking about earlier, you said you kind of like it when it's volatile because it gives you something to a target.
Yeah,
and it keeps it interesting.
It's very interesting. Yeah. And speaking of that, as we take a look at one of the most surprising tax complaints in America, well, exactly what is that as we're into tax season here? It's tax ID theft, and it has grown so quickly that it accounts for 1/3 of all the consumer complaints about crime to the Federal Trade Commission. In fact, what they've seen is an explosion of complaints about callers who claim that they're calling from the IRS. And this seems to be a very big problem. These callers are calling up saying that you have a tax bill of X amount of dollars and that if you don't pay it within the next 24 hours, they're going to be sending the police or sheriff department to your house and this and that. Folks, the IRS is not going to call your house. And so if they do, well, it's a scam. In fact, what they're saying is that there are more and more of these complaints being filed because of people trying to claim that they're calling from the IRS and trying to get your credit card number or a debit card or cash or whatever, and they're not. And in fact, they put out a list here. It says, here are the 5 telltale signs that a caller is a scam artist, and this is put out by the IRS. They call to demand immediate payment, nor will the agency, the IRS, ever call about taxes owed without first having mailed you a bill. They'll demand that you pay taxes without giving you the opportunity to question or appeal the amount that they say you owe. They'll require you to use a specific payment method for your taxes, such as a prepaid debit card. They'll ask for credit card or debit card numbers over the phone. They'll threaten to bring in local police or law enforcement groups to have you arrested for not paying. These are telltale signs that this is a scam, because this is not what the IRS does. So be on the lookout. Particularly during the tax season here, because so many people are being well, they're being the victims of these scams. They have collected, by the IRS calculations, about $14 million last year in these scams. So be on the lookout. And also, this week got some news. Apple, as you know, with their new phones, are looking to be able to use the phones to pay for things. Well, they're saying that nearly 200,000 self-serve locations like vending machines, kiosks, and parking meters will soon support the Apple Pay system. If you have a recent iPhone with the Apple Pay enabled, you won't have to worry about carrying cash or having correct change when you're using any of the machines that are run by the USA Technologies, which provides the wireless payment solutions for the small ticket items. So it's coming. It should be here. We should see a big launch this fall. And certainly we're going to see a lot. This is a big big innovation with Apple. And I think that a lot of people are going to catch on to this. And I think we're going to have a big growth in this area over the next couple of years as people carry less and less cash, want something a little more safe. And we're also going to see a big change in the credit cards themselves come this fall as we start to go to the embedded chips like the Europeans have already done to add more safety to our credit transactions. And in some companies already offer a third measure of safety where you can get these little cards that will generate a code that you have to input, or they'll call and give you a code number on your phone as a text before you can get into the website, for example. So all kinds of new safety features coming about down the road here. Now's the time to get on the phone for the Money Talks quiz of the week, 330-370-1590. By calling in, you'll be our contestant. You automatically win breakfast to Bob Evans. I'm going to ask you three multiple choice questions. And if you get all three right, we'll move you into the bonus round for a shot at a second breakfast at Bob Evans. 330-370-1590. We're going to take caller number four. We'll be right back.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590 with more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back. It is time for the Money Talks quiz of the week. And Sandy, who's our contestant this week?
I'm Bill from Akron. Bill, you're on the air with us.
Good morning, Rick.
Oh, is this the world famous Bill?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Champion, right?
He is.
Marble champion.
How are you?
Fine.
Are you ready for these questions today?
Well, if you get your easy ones,
okay.
I'm ready.
Okay. I'm going to start with one that should probably be a little bit easier.
Okay.
Bill, which of the following is 24-karat gold? Would that be an American Eagle, an American Buffalo, or a Rolex presidential watch? Which one of those is 24-karat gold? American Eagle, American Buffalo, or the Rolex presidential watch?
I'm going to say the most obvious one is American Eagle.
American Eagles are 22-karat gold.
Ooh.
American Buffaloes are 24-karat gold. And the Rolex, well, that's only 18.
Who would have thunk? Wow,
yeah.
Buffalo beats out the Eagle.
Sandy. Yeah, but the American Eagle and the American Buffalo, they both contain 1 troy ounce of gold. They're just set up a little bit differently. The American Eagles are a little bit harder because of some of the other ingredients. That's why it makes them 22-karat, and the American Buffalo is solid gold. It's 24-karat gold.
That was a trick question.
Stumped Bill. That's a tough one.
I mentioned earlier in the show, as we know, the dollar is very strong right now against the other world currencies. The dollar is at a multi-year high right now, Bill. Is it at a 2-year high, a 6-year high, or a 9-year high? The dollar with its strength, is it at a 2-year high, 6-year high, or a 9-year high?
6. 2.
Hey, Hey!
Well, it's at a 9-year high. I did mention it earlier in the show.
Oh, see, you knew there was going to be a test.
Yeah. It's at a 9-year high. And that's part of the reason why we're seeing the commodity prices so low, such as oil, and that is because of the strength of the dollar. And okay. Yesterday, in the stock market, we saw an IPO, an initial public offering of a new stock, the Shake Shack. It's a hamburger place. Yeah. Their stock opened up yesterday, and it closed up from its initial opening price by how much? By 79%? 129% or 162%? What did Shake Shack's initial offering close up yesterday? 79, 129, or 162?
79. Well, I guess I'm going to miss all three of them.
You didn't make enough money. It closed up 129% from its initial price opening yesterday.
I think I've heard that is actually the Chipotle is on the East Coast, and then Shake Shack is like the popular for the young crowd for fast food. It's the most popular.
Yeah.
What state are they in?
They're mostly over on the East Coast. They have several in New York City, for example, and I guess the Boston area and that sort of thing. I think they have about 42 restaurants currently. They were saying that the average ticket price for two is about $30.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
better
they're not cheap hamburgers.
It's a darn good hamburger. They eat themselves for you.
But they're planning on expanding over the next 10 years to about 450 restaurants throughout the United States. So we might find one here in the area. But, hey, you're still a winner. You get your breakfast, Bob Evans, Bill, and it keeps you into the lead, the all-time lead for
still.
Winners here on the Money Quiz.
I don't feel like it this morning.
Oh, no. Well, have a cup of coffee, and then, we'll see how that goes.
Well, say hello to your wife for me, and you guys have a wonderful weekend, and stay warm.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Bill, have a good day.
All right.
Well, how were those questions?
I probably was doing about as good as Bill for some reason. I don't know why, because I would have guessed the eagle, because I would have thought, oh, American Eagle, of course, American Eagle. And then I thought the trick might have been the Rolex, but I would have never guessed the Buffalo. I don't know why.
Until I actually, now I've known this for a while, but up until I did some research a while back, I thought the American Eagle was 24 karat gold too.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of gold coins out there that are 24 karat, and I would have thought the American Eagle was. So, no, that's an easy one to miss.
Yeah.
But it's the American Buffalo that they put the 24 karat on. Eagles are 22. But, hey, you try to learn something new
that's
every
why
day.
We do learn something new every day, yes.
So that's where we're at.
That's the beauty of the quiz, yeah.
Yeah, and, you look at, Maple Leafs and Krugerrands and Austria's orchestras, and I mean, you've got all kinds of gold coins out there that are available, and it just comes down to what are they? Well, they have 1 ounce, one troy ounce of gold, whether they're 22 or 24 karat, they have the same value. So,
oh, really? They have the same value?
Yeah, 22, 24 doesn't matter because it's what they have. It's one troy ounce of gold.
Okay.
So one's going to be a little bigger than the other.
Okay, That's interesting. And they have to mix it with other
alloys.
Because otherwise it wouldn't be sturdy enough, right?
Right. Now, the 24 karat, I've never tried this, but you've seen some of the old movies or something.
Where they bite
put
it.
Because if they can put their teeth marks in it, it's a soft metal.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that's what I always wondered, what are they doing with that? And I thought, and plus my mind goes to, ew, do you know where that's been?
Exactly.
But, just saying,
They didn't know those things back then.
Do not do that with a dollar bill is all I'm saying. Yeah.
Absolutely. But, we were going to talk about this last week on the show, and I wanted to kind of get to it this week because it's kind of an interesting thing. If you've got a puppy or a kitten that you got as a present this holiday season, a little bit of financial planning can make all the difference in providing a long and happy life for your furry friend. Pets often become like family members, and pet owners will do almost anything to make sure that they are well cared for. But many people don't consider the financial risk or expense that they may incur. particularly if your beloved pet gets sick, those costs can quickly add up. Pet owners spend an estimated $15 billion on veterinary care, and that was in 2014. That's more than a quarter of the $58 billion that they spent overall in the pet industry. This is according to the American Pet Products Association. But about $870 million of those dollars were spent on pet insurance. There's a lot of money on coverage that insurance experts say is not always necessary or suitable for all pets. Pet insurance makes the most sense when your pet is young and the premium is a lower cost to you. What you can find is that it can definitely help pay for any of those medical expenses that might come along during their lifetime. The decision of whether or not to provide this type of care and protection for your pet can be an emotional one, but it can also have important financial ramifications. For example, if your puppy swallows a small toy, for example, well, it could cost nearly $1,300 on average to have it removed at an emergency clinic or a veterinarian's office. So basically what you're going to find is that for a cat, for example, with a bout of pneumonia, the average vet bill is about $960. So people have to decide whether or not they want to put money into an account to provide for emergencies or maybe buy some pet insurance. Well, it's now become widely available, and you can find it just about anywhere. According to Pet First, their average monthly cost for pet insurance is about $25 a month. You can find it anywhere at different insurance companies. You can find it for just emergency care. Maybe you're paying $10 or $11 a month to full comprehensive policies that you might pay up to about $35 a month. So it just depends. But if you're interested, you can look around and comparison shop, just like you would for your homeowners or auto insurance. But pet insurance, it's something that is no longer a novelty, but has become a true industry over the past several years, and one that could really save you a lot of unexpected costs should something happen to your pet. So it might be something that you want to look into. Of course, you do want to buy it from a reputable company. Make sure that you read what the coverages are and what is not covered, what are the exclusions of the policy, to make sure that you get what you want and something that's also affordable for the budget. So pet insurance, certainly we all look, I know myself with my dog. They are a family member. They're extremely important in the family, or, you know, in my case, almost like another child. But you want to do everything you can to protect your children. And so, therefore, pet insurance, good way to look at it. Well, as we've looked at the markets today, certainly we have a lot of volatility going on out there. And don't let it upset you or worry you or concern you. The world is an ever-changing place, and that's the one thing that you can always count on. And as long-term investors, we just want to make sure that we don't make rookie mistakes, get too much emotion into those mistakes. We want to make sure that we're very diversified, particularly in today's world. That's what's going to protect us. And we want to look at our investments and make sure that we, you know, take advantage of opportunities that present themselves to us. So another show has come to an end. It's been a great pleasure to share the past hour with you. We always welcome the opportunity at Capital Financial Group to work with you as your personal financial advisor. Let us help you to eliminate the worry that comes along with retirement planning, with making sure that your investments are diversified properly, that you have the allocations that meet your risk profiles. Do you need to set up a financial plan? Do you need help in your investment portfolio, determining how much income is needed in your retirement years? Give us a call. Our number is 330-668-6991. That's 330-668-6991. Thanks so much for having us in today. We'll see you next Saturday at 7 right here on Money Talks. Have a great week.
This has been Money Talks with Richard Peterson, President of Capital Financial Group. This program is informational only and should not replace a financial consultation before investing your money. Registered financial advisors are key toward a balanced and responsible financial policy. This has been a paid program. 1590 WAKR and its parent company, the Rubber City Radio Group, are not responsible for its content.